Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Do you know what hope is? Well, yeah, but now, really. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, Mary Colbert, in this book, Prayer That Changes Everything, I remember years and years ago a radio preacher, and he would come on and he would say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. I love it, don't you? God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Prayer That Changes Everything. Five principles to activate faith. And would you join me today in welcoming Mary and Don Colbert again to this broadcast? Don, I appreciate everything that your family and your life and Mary's has done for our family and our lives. We've been together a long time and we're family, and we praise God for your family. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, too.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm borrowing his word. Everything in him is amazing. I picked that up from him. Amazing and wonderful.
Amen.
So, Mary had an outstanding experience, and the Spirit of God, the Father Himself, just downloaded this book into her life and into her ministry. And yesterday we talked about faith that excites God. And we'll very quickly read our two verses of Scripture and the faith that excites God in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 5th verse. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, or he's paralyzed, grievously tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He understood that he was not Jew. Mm-hmm. But now, this is the same centurion that built the same synagogue in Capernaum, of which Jairus was leader. Mm-hmm. Now, you start tying little yes, ends amen. Together. It's exciting, isn't it? It's what I call going widescreen. All the pieces you start coming right. in. Anyway, the bottom line is, he said, I'm a soldier. This man was a Roman officer. A centurion meant that he had at least 100 men under him. And so, he said, speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. Now, that was what excited Jesus, his faith mm-hmm. in yes. his word.
That's right.
And then he outlined authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, he goes. Another, come, he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does it. So what did he say? He said, that paralyzed, whatever he's paralyzed from, that paralyzation is subject to your word. You have authority over it, speak it. Now, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. He was excited about that.
That was exciting faith, yes.
And then the Syrophoenician woman. Now, isn't it amazing that neither one of these people were Jews?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. They hadn't come under tradition so powerfully that they didn't recognize the authority of His Word. Mm-hmm. And having authority of the Word and having faith in the Word excites God. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God.
Amen.
Amen. And then the other one. Matthew 21 through 28. Jesus departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. So in another account, it said she'd heard of him. So she called him Messiah right then, son of David. She knew who he was and she worshiped him. But she had no covenant. But she pressed in anyway.
Amen.
And my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, and he answered her not a word. Now, he did that on purpose. What's she going to do? So he just didn't say anything to her. Well, she just kept following him. She aggravated the whole bunch.
And that's an important period of time right there.
Yes, it is.
When he goes silent.
Yes. Amen.
And you don't hear anything.
That's right.
And there's
she could have just said, well, he's not going to do anything. I'm not a Jew. I know he's Messiah, but I'll just give up.
Got to press in.
No. And his disciples came to him and said, send, get her out of here. She's crying after us. He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I only have covenant with them. Mm-hmm. Then came she and worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
That broke it.
Mm-hmm.
She fell before him. She worshiped him and called him Lord. Really got his attention. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she, now he called her a dog. But she's not touchy. You can suggest that somebody's overweight and they won't talk to you anymore. Mm-hmm.
Didn't get offended, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Nowadays, so many people get offended.
At anything.
Anything, and that causes, again, it causes so many people to be full of bitterness and hatred.
It is.
And it separates them from God when they're that way.
Even President Trump, when some of his tweets and things he says and calls, he pegs people with a name. He's a name caller, right?
He is.
And I've told people, because I'm a big Trump supporter, surprise. And and I tell people, I say, well, hold on. Jesus was a name caller, so get over your offense.
That's right.
Herod a fox.
That's right.
He called the Pharisees
whitewashed
tombs. And he called
brood of
them
vipers, John the Baptist.
Brood of vipers.
I was raised in a home with a world-class salesman, man of God. My dad loved God. I mean, he and my mother both. He was a good negotiator. And he's not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Trump called that Erdogan a nice guy. You don't start off by calling him a dog and then go try to negotiate.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That's not the way you work with a heathen.
That's right.
Mm-mm.
Now, my dad would make you mad. I got so tickled in him. I never would. As long as he was on this earth, I never would even attempt in the ministry anything to go buy a car. I want my dad to go do it. And he was buying a new station wagon from the Buick place. And Gloria and I are just sitting in there, and I'm just marveling at the way he's working with this, with the sales manager of this Buick thing. And all of a sudden, the salesman ran out of the room. Just ran out. And what had happened, my dad had made an offer this salesman couldn't approve. So he's got it in front of the sales manager. And the sales manager is going for it. And this guy just ran out. And he came back in a few minutes and he just threw this file back there. He said, I thought I recognized this old man. He beat us one time before. That sales manager just he all I laughed, Gloria laughed, we bought the car.
That's funny.
A negotiator.
Yeah, that's correct.
Negotiator. Amen. Smart.
And Mr. Trump will get under your skin.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And if he can't do it by being nice to you, he'll make you mad. make you fight with him and fuss with him, but we're going to get to the end of this.
That's right.
He's not diplomatic. He's not a politician.
Thank God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so tired of politicians.
Anyway, he said to her, she said, "That's true, Lord. Yet the dogs get the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." Now, does that remind you of something else Jesus said? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It all goes to these two covenants. Both of these are covenants of blood. The first one started out and God said, "Take for me an animal. Don't kill the man, kill the animal." And then he met with Abram, changed his name. That's very covenant related. He changed his name. We get that from marriage covenants today. The woman changes her name because you covenanted together. All right. He changed his name. He put H in the middle of his name, Hashem. And he put Hashem on the end of Sarai's name, calling her Sarah.
Amen.
So now God is in covenant. Their names have been changed.
Yes.
Now in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, we've been named after the Father. Come on. So the point being here, that His word is on the line for this nation. You remember Rose and Bob Weiner in a college campus ministry? Anyway, oh man. What powerful, powerful people. And in March of 2009, she said, "It was a blessing to see you in glory in Washington at the Kennedy Center." Anyway, the Glenn Beck rally and all that.
Right.
Anyway, she came down and she said, "In March of last year, I was with a small prayer group at Harvard. After worshiping and singing in tongues for a long period of time, I had a vision." I love this. "In this vision, I was above the clouds looking across the expanse of the sky like flying in an airplane. The sky was filled with bells that were ringing. There were myriads of many of them. Many of them looked like the Liberty Bell. I saw Jesus walking in the middle of those bells. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, 'You know, this is the only nation ever founded because people loved me in the history of the world. I founded Israel because I loved the people and made them a great nation to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But the United States of America was founded because people loved me and sought to create a nation where they could have freedom to worship me. I will never forget that."
Praise God.
When he said this, his voice broke up with emotion and you could hear that he was holding back tears. Then he said, "I'm going to move in a great spiritual awakening to call this nation back to myself." And it's happening right
now. Praise God. Amen.
We're in it right now.
Amen.
We are in it right
now. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
Yes,
that just stirs me to my core.
That's right on.
He said, "This is the only one."
Wow.
He said, "I will never forget it. I will never forget it." Now, if we continue to remind him of that, there is no way, there is no way that socialism is ever going to be a part of this nation. It is not going to happen.
It's not going
to
happen.
It's time to end the baby killing. It's time to end all the perversion. And it's time to do it now.
Amen. And when this happens, we need to call forth a fast of repentance.
Yes.
We can't do it in the middle of the war, but I'm going to tell you, when this comes to an end, there needs to be a day of fasting and repentance so we never let it happen again. One of the things that the Lord showed me is that has been lost about prayer, and I think it's important you know, we all have times where we need an answer, and you're wanting to hear from Him. And I want to give you a nugget that He gave me. He showed me in the book of Genesis, and it's right in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. It says that right after Adam and Eve had fallen sin, the Bible says, and that he was out walking in the cool of the day. Now, that is an important thing. The Bible says He changes not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the cool of the day is when? Before the sun comes up. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, there is a presence on the earth before that sun always, comes up, always. There's a presence, and you don't get that same presence throughout the whole day. Well, I want you to know He is out walking every morning before the sun comes up, looking for His Adam and Eve's to interact with you, to give you answers, to give you wisdom. So time isn't important. And then you go over to the book of Mark, go Mark chapter, I want to show you this to back it up, because you always have to have the new and the old complement each other. And the chapter, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up great while before its day." Mm-hmm. This is Jesus would go out and commune with His Father. So I want to encourage you, for those of you, rise up early with your husband or your wife, whichever, or just you. Go out in the early morning, and I want you to begin to commune with the Father. He is out there wanting to download you revelation about what's going on in your life, what He wants to do. He wants to bring back the visions that you have lost, the discouragement that you have been met with. You will meet Him there. He is there ready to meet each and every one of you. Amen. Every morning. Mm-hmm. His mercies are new every morning. So I want to encourage those that have lost vision, become doubtful, discouraged. Would you rise up before the sun? Go out in the cool of the day and talk to your Father. He is there to speak. And sometimes I'll just go out and just sit and listen. Mm-hmm. I don't say anything.
Just be still.
Just to be still, to see what He brings to my heart, what brings to my mind. And it's amazing what He will do. Now, God has partnered with you and I, and He has given us the power of the spoken word. The word says, He said, "Let there be light," and there was. Now He's put in you that same creative power for you to take your faith, your excitement, your faith to believe and create the world. So what happened with me, and you wanted me to get to this real quick. When I was in college at ORU, I did not want a date, just a date, to date, to date. It was not me. So I went to the Father and I said, "Now, Father, You know who He is. I'm not going to get in all this dating game. I just don't want to do that. You tell me who You have for me to be joined with." And that's, you want to be joined to the right one. Don't be unequally yoked, man. That's a mistake. You want to be yoked to the person who has faith like you. Amen. Now, you're going to be opposites in a lot of ways. You're not going to see things the same. So get over that. That's not what He's talking about when He says, be, you know, equally yoked. That's not what He said. Matter of fact, the more opposite you are, the more probably called you are. Because between the two of you, you'll get His vision.
Well, that's true.
Amen.
And when
that's
one becomes just like...
That's what covenants do.
That's what they do. And when
if you're
one
both
comes,
just alike, then there's something missing.
Right.
If I become just like him or he becomes just like me, the need for one of us has been omitted.
Yeah.
So... it's in the differences we get His plan, we hear. That's why it's so important that the Democratic Party come back to Jesus. It needs to bring that party back.
And the so godly principles,
the godly
they've
principles,
taken God
it's
out of
gone.
The
it's gone. It's gone. So we're going to pray for it. It's going to change. I'm telling you,
it's
going to change. And so I began writing down. I said, "Lord, You tell me who He is." He started telling me, okay. He'll be 6'3". Okay, tall.
Now listen.
Tall is good.
This is Habakkuk 2:2. She's following. Yeah. You have to have a vision, mm-hmm. and then you have to write it down. Uh-huh. And that's what so many Christians don't do. They don't write it down. Mm-hmm. And this is what's so important. The Lord actually instructed her, write it down. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
That's Habakkuk 2:2.
I hadn't met him. I did not know him. I had no idea what, you know, it was just in a time of prayer of seeking him, the Father, and wanting to hear from him. And, you know, I have learned these principles that he summarized this particular night. And it's kind of like David. David learned God was with him through killing the bear and the lion and through life's experiences is how he knew that God was with him, right? Mm-hmm. So some of my life experiences in this book is how I have come about to reiterate these five principles. And this is one of them. You know, faith is the substance of things. What is the thing you need God to do in your life? Well, for me at that time, I wanted the right man in my life. I didn't want the wrong man. So he began telling me, told me the color of his hair, told me he'd be real smart and educated and be viewed as being very smart. He told me he'd have a strong love for him, the Lord. And then he sealed the thing, which was really precious to me. He goes, and he will have a strong love for you. And I just thought, oh, thank you for that. I remember thinking, thank you.
And a nickname.
Oh, his nickname. Right. Yeah. Yeah, he said his nickname will have three letters. And in college, his nickname was Buzz. Now, y'all know him as Don Colbert, but all his medical students and all the students from RU know him as Buzz Colbert, and his family called him Buzz. So it was amazing how God brought him into my life. My roommate was starting to tell everybody, oh, Mary's got this list. Warning, be careful who you share.
Yes, amen.
You know, and she started telling, oh, Mary's got this list. God has told her who her husband is. And so it was pretty ironic, you know. So one day we're going across the campus and he's walking and she sees him and she's like, oh, I know that guy. Stop and pick him up, give him a ride. And she was kind of crazy, wild and crazy. So I pulled over and he got in the back and we just kept talking. And she was talking about, well, we're talking about this other guy's name is Joe. It's not a nickname. This guy's taller. He's dark hair. I'm like, no, Kathy, this guy, he doesn't fit the list. I'm just telling. So he goes, what are y'all talking about? So she starts telling him, Mary's got a list.
We're out of time.
And here he is.
That's a quick summary.
We'll take it up again tomorrow. Okay. I'll butt it in on it today, but we'll take it up tomorrow because this is so good.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.